Hey, welcome back to this episode of Walking Points. And we're so glad that you have joined us and are with us. And we've had a little break. We just celebrated Easter, which was amazing. I hope you had a great Holy Week and Easter. And this is our 35th episode. And man, time has flown, hasn't it, Dale?
It has. This is sort of like a breather episode. We just got done with, you know, all the activity of Lent. And then last week here at our church, we had, gosh, one of the best Holy Weeks we've had in a long time, or at least I thought so. We had wonderful morning devotional time. We had a great Monday, Thursday service with the Jews for Jesus, activities on Friday, and men's breakfast on Saturday, and then a little thing we call Easter, sunrise services and all that. It was a great turnout for the sunrise service, too.
Yeah, there are about 1,000, close to 1,000 people here on campus at Southside. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. And if you're listening in Anchorage, Alaska, we are on the east coast of the United States. So if you're listening here two blocks away.
We're home of the Gator Bowl. I'm sure that will immediately.
There you go.
Oh, the Gator Bowl. That's in Jacksonville.
That's right. But we feel refreshed, and he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, that
I know that one.
Is going to be our, not just our Easter chant, but that's for all the year, isn't it? So, what are we going to be pressing into?
Well, this is sort of a hodgepodge. I hope it'll be sort of a state of the ministry, at least men's ministry, conversation, some brainstorming together that we're going to let these people overhear. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get your thoughts, because I know you did this in two or three different groups, the spiritual life checkup. If you had any sort of, in your experience, or maybe just feedback that you got from others, sort of, we talked about that a number of times, the spiritual life checkup, which is a spiritual inventory we did here at the church. There were five parts to it, and each part just sort of focused on a component of the Christian life. And they were just sort of diagnostic questions, asking people, you know, how you doing in this particular area? It gives them opportunity to reflect on that, to celebrate those areas where they've seen God, you know, helping them grow in their faith, and then identify those areas where, you know, they're not quite moving at the pace or moving in the direction even that they want to, and they know they ought to. But it's like we've been saying over and over, it's not a time to beat yourself up, but it's, you know, just a corrective perhaps or something. And so since you've had a variety of groups, you've got a small group that's been meeting for a while, you have brand new, about to be members of the church, and then I know you've had some folks that are members of the church, and just get your thoughts on how that went, I guess.
Well, yes, we did the spiritual life checkup, and if you'd like to get one, they are available here on campus, of course, at Southside United Methodist. Yeah. We are at 3120 Hendricks Avenue in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. or you can go to daletedder.com, and there's probably a link to some of
there's
that content, isn't there?
There's on the website, there's a page called Bookstore, right. And it'll just give you the link, and you can order it straight from the publisher.
There you go.
Probably get it more quickly, unless
if you want an autographed copy of the author,
please come by.
The only Dale Tedder.
We can take a selfie together.
He carries a Sharpie with him
everywhere I go. Everywhere I go,
and he's always up for a selfie. So back to your question.
Thank you.
we had a great time in a variety of different small groups going through this checkup, and Dale's done a good job of doing that in men's ministry for years. Using some of the resources from C.S. Lewis and sort of provoke this going deeper and asking even more questions. And the whole point of it is to basically have an authentic conversation, one with another person, as well as with yourself. You know, where are we? And I think there were a number of things that happened in that process, which were all fruitful and continue to be. And as a matter of fact, I just started it with another small group that I'm personally in. Mm. And right out of the gate, we got into some substantive, like, we didn't know we were going to go there kind of conversations, like, hey, let me tell you what's really going on. And that's why we're a big fan of small groups or being with right. other people in an accountable kind of relationships where you can be real and support one another and talk about what's really going on and not just try to keep up appearances.
Right.
And so I think it's a valuable tool to have an honest assessment of where you are with God. And the great news is that God is always coming to us right where we are. And there's no surprise to him, like our fears, our doubts, our brokenness, our questions. He gets all that.
Sure.
And meets us right there and is able to hear all of that in a conversation and provides guidance through his word. And so it's a great time. So personally, we experience a lot of relational growth, one with another, like talking about getting to know other people as we mm-hmm. share this, as well as God providing his strength and courage to be vulnerable with other folks too, as mm-hmm. we talked about our faith, the things that we find amazing, exciting, and the things that we really struggle with in the process. So it was both highly personal,
yeah,
yet highly relational in the process. So it was really good on both of those fronts.
That's good. It's interesting. I think you can do that, and there's as many different experiences as there are people or as there are groups, you know, doing the spiritual life checkup. Our children's director has a small group on Wednesday evening, and I can't remember what age group. It's 8th or 9th grade, maybe.
I think so.
And they were doing it in their group, and she was giving me feedback that there's one of the questions on, I guess, the intellectual life that's asking about do you have a basic understanding of Christian doctrine? And it gave some examples of, you know, different doctrines, you know, doctrine of God or of justification or salvation or Christian living, what we call sanctification and things like that. And if there was, I don't mean to insult an entire group of people, but if there was one group I didn't think would be interested at all, something like that, I probably would have chosen them. And it was just the opposite. She mm-hmm. said they were riveted, and they were asking all these questions, and she said you could have heard a pin drop. They were really engaged. But I think a big part of that is she and her partner who lead the group did a stellar job of getting them into this, going through it, and then they were ready for those questions. They made sure they knew. They researched the answers and all that so they could give an answer that's appropriate for that group of people that were asking the questions, you know, 7th or 8th and 9th grade girls. And there were many things that came from that, but that was one of them. And it's interesting, the wide range of people who did this checkup. And we had 8th grade boys, 8th and 9th grade girls, all the way to our seniors and everybody in between, new Christians, Christians who've been at it for a long time. And, you know, certainly we want everyone to connect with each other at a deeper level and talk about things, like you said, that I'm tearing up the place here, that they may not know about. New experiences with each other and new information right. of each other, and growing together in Christ, but then also learning, you know, how can I grow? What are my areas? Mm-hmm. And feeling free to ask those things sort of in a safe environment
right.
where you can trust the people to, you know, not judge you because you don't know the answer to it's not even answers to questions like a set answer.
That's right.
It's personal. You know, it's how are you doing with this, or how often do you, you know, pray, you know,
right.
or whatever it may be. So there's not a right or wrong answer to that. It's just how am I doing now compared to where I was, and
right.
where would I like to go a year from now or five right. years from now, and knowing you can say that so that if you're struggling in a particular area, as we all are,
right.
You can share that mm-hmm. with a group of people, knowing that you're going to get encouraged and helped. You know, every now and then, in some groups, there might be some time for some, you know, mm-hmm. challenge on that a little bit. But even that's done in love,
right?
But it's never a judgmental. Oh, can't believe you said that. Mm-hmm. You know, who do you think you are? You call yourself a Christian, and so I got reports like that as well. Mm-hmm.
From
those things. And so that's ideal. We know it's not always ideal, but that's a lot of what the reports were that I got back.
Right. So if you haven't done this little exercise, it is great and beneficial to go through it personally. It's even better if you even get with one other person and to share your story. Because right out of the gate, the first question is, when did you become a Christian? And it's great to tell, and well, first of all, to know what your story is.
Right.
And to be able to communicate that to someone else, like, let me tell you how, because really, when we share our faith, it all comes down to, let me tell you how God moved in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me tell you how God was faithful, or let me tell you my story. And it really, we find out that actually we're brought into God's story.
That's
but
right.
It's another topic. But yeah. To be able to do it with another person is highly beneficial. So if you haven't done it yet, one, do it. It's right. good. It's fruitful. If you can do it with just at least another person, great, because good things will come out of that.
Yeah. Don't feel like you have to do it in a big group or, right. You know, even a big small group. I mean, it can be just two people.
Right. If you have a friend or if you have a spouse, it really will grow that relationship.
Yeah. I do a good bit of, you know, premarital counseling, and I always assign homework, you know, mm-hmm. go think about these things. And one thing I say is, do these on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I'm not trying to play gotcha in the counseling session. I want you to talk about it together.
Yeah.
So go out for dinner. And I can't tell you how many people have actually done that.
Mm-hmm.
They go out to dinner and talk about their answers to these questions, and they grow closer with one another. You know, it becomes a relationship building.
Yeah.
And they, you know, no matter how long you date, you still haven't talked about everything that you'll ever talk about.
Yeah.
Or every topic. And so they learn new things as well. Not all the time, but a lot of times they do. And that's the same sort of deal. You mm-hmm. can, whether it's your spouse, a close friend, accountability partner, whomever, it's a worthwhile exercise, I think.
That's right. It'd be fun to do sort of like the newlywed game, too. It's like if you had to guess your spouse's answer, we should do that. That's a side note. We have to table that.
All right. Write that down.
Hit each other on the head with a card. It's like, what? Anyway.
It's like I have a marriage counselor on the side ready to move in. But anyway, so that's one thing I wanted us to talk about today, just to kind of get a report on how that went. And as Ian has said, please, you know, you can go to the website, get it from there, or you can, if you're here in town, we've got them around here somewhere. So
yeah, we do.
Be happy to put those in your hands. The something I did recently, kind of moving into men's ministry specific here, 2 weeks ago, I asked the guys on Monday nights and the guys on Wednesday mornings who are in the different men's groups there, I said, this was just an arbitrary number on my part, I said, if you were going to go out to lunch tomorrow with a guy, and he was going to ask you, you know, you talk about what it means to be a Christian man,
mm-hmm.
or a godly man, biblical man, whatever mm-hmm. phrase you want.
Right.
But I really don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. What does that mean as opposed to just a a regular man, you know?
Right.
What is this godly man, this Christian man? So I said, what five marks or five characteristics would you share with him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have said seven, I could have said three, but I said five. And I want you to write these down on an index card
mm-hmm.
and then give them back to me, because I'd like to just see what's on your mind as you think about these things. And so I did that. And then there were guys who weren't able to attend Monday night or Wednesday morning. And so I sent emails to them. Same, you know, same thing. Let me know five marks, five characteristics of godly manhood. And then I said, well, let me explore, you know, my contact list here and send out some other guys who aren't in our men's ministry. They might be in other Bible studies, or they might not be in any study.
Right.
But just to get their thoughts, you know, is that a word they'll even know how to respond to? Is that, you know, just kind of wanted to see the state of the union, as it were. What are guys thinking about when they say this? And I got back some of the greatest responses. I tell you, I was sort of bracing myself for guys that were going to recite, you know, the Boy Scout law,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hear thrifty and
yeah, right.
and
yeah.
clean and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. it wasn't a bad answer. But I got some very thoughtful, well-considered responses. Some guys gave me kind of like the nature of my book on the foundations for godly manhood. It was more, it was foundational. Well, they need to know Christ. Well,
right.
Absolutely, you know, and they kind of went that way and hit broad foundational themes. Other guys said, well, I don't know if they said this, but I kind of assumed that's, they probably assumed that and said, but here's what it ought to look like.
Right.
You know, as they go throughout their day or throughout their week. And so they would say things like humble.
Right.
Or loving, integrity. Those are some of the answers that came up a lot. And it was, I can't tell you how meaningful it was for me to read through these things, but also how helpful it was, because I thought, I was really praying about it. I was, you know, reflecting on it, trying to make this a useful exercise. And I said, there are dozens of ways that I can sort of leverage this new information, as it were.
Sure.
And hopefully minister to men with what I've learned. So, you know, we could do podcasts on it. We could write on it. We could have groups talk about it. And it really, this information can just be integrated into a lot of the things that that we do with our men here. And so I think I shared this with the guys this week. There were about 110 men that gave me that I sent word out to. I didn't get 110 responses, but I got a lot. I probably need to go back and count actually how many there were, but it was well over 50%.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of them were overlapping, very so I had to kind of figure out ways to categorize these. Right. But I think I fairly categorized about 116 different ones.
Wow.
Which I thought was, and probably these could be subcategories of each other. So,
right.
Like I said, they really do relate, but the number one answer was humility. And then loving.
Did that surprise you?
Well, yeah, I guess it did. I thought maybe integrity.
Or strength, you know, your typical strength or courageous, manly answer.
Yeah. Courageous actually was one of the top answers, and I was kind of expecting that. Some guys, like I said, something categorized what a guy would look like during the week. You know, he'd be courageous, or he'd be humble, or whatever they would put. Some were more foundational, and then some were more role oriented.
Right.
Like he needs to be the spiritual leader of his home,
sure,
or a bold witness for Christ.
Yeah,
and so even the kinds of answers that, you know, there might have been three different. You know, one was more of a character, one was more of a foundation, and one's more of an action, what it ought to look like. So I got a variety of different sort of answers. And so what I thought, you know, we could do in the weeks to come is, you know, start going through some of those things and talking about them, so that, you know, there's some immediate feedback for these guys on, you know, if you put humble, well, let's talk about humility for, well, as long as it takes us. You
right,
know,
right.
If you put integrity, what is integrity? Let's talk about integrity.
Mm-hmm.
If you put, what does it mean to be the spiritual leader of your home? Well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And give us,
that's good.
So it gives us some content, which
sure.
I'm always happy about. But I really think if this is where guys are, if these are sort of the things that they're thinking, then let's give more content to what, and make sure it's a, you know, godly content. What is humility? Does it mean being weak? You know, being a wimp,
yeah.
Or does it mean something, you know, much different than that? And it, you know, the answer is yes, it does. You know, a whole lot different. So let's, as always, we want to put biblical categories on things,
define it,
and help us to understand better, and then some real practical tools for putting this stuff into action. So that's a little bit.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm excited, and
I love that you really just threw that out there to, you know, a lot of folks. And then pressed into it. That was smart. That was really good.
Well, it was.
And the answer, that humility surprises me. I'm trying to think. I responded to it. I'm trying to think what I wrote.
Well, I know what you put, because you're the only one who used a highlighter for your answer. So I looked at it and I said, oh, Ian, God. You know, so I had some prayer time for you.
Yeah. Well, as per usual.
But, but it's, you know, humility and loving were the top two.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of the
That's encouraging, actually, to me.
It really is encouraging. It's mm-hmm. interesting because I started reading a book on humility mm-hmm. by Jerry Bridges, and he said that just in his, you know, sort of unscientific analysis, the number one characteristic, either commanded or described in the New Testament, is loving, and the second one is humility. So our guys got their, you know, got it right. You know, they switched the numbers, but what was very eye-opening for me was many of these men, when they would send me their answers, mostly the guys on the emails, because I didn't give a lot of time for the guys that were at the study when they were doing it on the index card, but the guys who emailed me their responses back, many of them, it was very humbling for me to see their answers. They said, this is a reminder of how far I am of where I need to be, you know, where I want to be.
Right.
It was encouraging, and they were grateful for the opportunity to give feedback. And so, you know, I really felt like, you know, this was a useful exercise. And
absolutely,
I think I owe it to the men. Mm-hmm. I owe it to myself, but I owe it to God. I owe it to our men for us to really spend some time talking about this and try to get this word out in as many different ways as we can.
Right.
That's what we're going to be doing in the weeks to come, to talk about, you know, if you're a godly man, what should that look like in your life?
Right.
So what does humility mean, for example? How do you cultivate humility?
Yeah.
You know, you've heard the contest.
I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm probably the best. but, you know, the old saying, if you go to accept a prize for humility, you're immediately take it away from you. So humility is elusive, you know, it's interesting because Jerry Bridges, but also some other guys as well, said humility and love are really the foundation to all the other virtues. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have those things, you won't even pursue those other things.
Right.
And you know, C.S. Lewis said, you know, the opposite of humility is really pride. And he just, in Mere Christianity, he said that is the root of all other sin, mm-hmm. because it's all about me.
Right.
And so I think we're going to have an opportunity to talk about, you know, what does it look like? How do you cultivate it? What does it mean? What are the opposites of whatever mark we're talking about? And how can we steer clear of that? Or how can we die to that if we mm-hmm. see that? You know, so for all of us who know that pride is alive and well in our own lives, how do we...
Not me, Dale.
Yeah. Everyone but Ian struggles with that. Ian's going to actually lead this the next 2 years of podcasts.
Because I'm good at that. I'm pretty good about humility. Right.
So I think that's where we're going to be headed.
I love it.
And, you know, I think, you know, for those of you who are listening, please share this with others. If not this actual podcast, let them know what's coming up. And we're going to try to get the word out as best we can to talk about the marks of godly manhood. And so that is, I guess, you know, that's short and sweet.
It's funny. Back in my college days, the turn of the century, it was one of the first things I was a business major, ended up picking up a religion philosophy major as well because I just loved it and took a lot of those courses. Like, hey, I could major in it now. But one of the first things Dr. Matty Hart down at Flagler College down the road here, she made us memorize Philippians 2:5-11 called the Christ hymn, mm-hmm. where she said, I want you to get this. And we're like, what are you talking about? And typical college student, it's like, well, you know, okay, we go do it. Not knowing she's laying the foundation for, mm-hmm. if you want to understand how I think about all this that I'm teaching about who Jesus is, you got to understand this, which is really this manifesto on humility.
Yeah.
You know, who Christ is. And this is his method he chose to show his greatness.
Right.
Is becoming humble, even obedient to death on the cross.
Yeah.
And so that becomes sort of the way in which we understand ourselves, who God is. And it was interesting that she said, all right, once you get this, almost like Grasshopper, right. when you understand this, you understand what I'm talking about.
Snatch the pebble
from
my hand.
The rest of my days, I think I'll be understanding the depth of that, what it really means to be obedient, even to death.
Even death on a cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voluntarily, yeah. right? I mean...
And then led into Galatians, you know, 2:20, mm-hmm. I've been crucified with Christ, mm-hmm. and it's no longer I who live. I mean, and that the reality of that is really what you're getting at is mm-hmm. once we have died to self, then we really begin to understand what we just celebrated, the power of the resurrection,
yeah.
a new life, a new creation. So well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, yeah, because that's what we're talking about is the life of Christ.
Yeah.
His character, his likeness. You know, you could take the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. and say, you know, just insert Jesus
right.
is
right.
love, joy, you know, and all that. And so we want to cultivate the life of Christ. We know that positionally speaking, we have died with Christ and we're mm-hmm. alive with Christ.
Right.
And
that is a big, big idea. That is huge.
Yeah, and it's almost pitiful or shameful how easily that flows from our lips mm-hmm. without stunning us.
Yeah.
You know,
it oh, by of, the way, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can just reel it off. And, but, yeah, it ought to just stagger us mm-hmm. and astonish us that that it's not I who live, but Christ who lives
right.
in me. And so that's what we're going to be kind of
awesome.
Jumping into and studying and talking about together. And tell a friend. Now, we're going to be talking to men, but I hope it's obvious that this isn't only for men. So, ladies listening, if you have a significant other, please play this in his sleep.
That's how things happen with guys anyway, right?
Yeah, it's the
okay, honey. Yes,
it's the wife who kicks the husband out of the bed on Wednesday mornings around here and say, "Ah, you're late." So, and that's not a joke.
And guys, for your well-being, and just say yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. So, I am very excited about this, and I love how God's going to move in our hearts and our lives to help us understand the depths of these things that he's already stirred up,
yeah.
and he's going to give us some greater clarity with that. And
Ian and I are good at all these things.
Yeah.
So
especially humility.
So we're the right ones to do this.
As God laughs with us.
Yes, indeed. Or not strikes us with lightning. Us.
One of the two. If we're not back next week, you know what happens.
That's what happened.
So please come join us as we press into this. Is it going to be our top five, Dale?
It's going to be, we'll start with humility.
Okay.
I'm going to just say that.
Yeah.
Because I have a bad track record on moving quickly through things like that. So
we're going to go upon the responses that the guys have put forth and said, hey, these are the important things.
We'll go through the top 10.
Right.
As a start.
Right.
And we will, I may even give homework out.
Uh-oh.
You know, just food for thought kind of stuff. Not today, but
yeah,
next time we'll be ready, loaded for bear.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for joining us in this episode of Walking Points, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
See you next week.